Welcome to Know Your Risk Radio on 97.3 Cairo FM and AM 770 KTTH. Know Your Risk Radio is hosted by Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital. Whether it's preservation of capital or an aggressive growth strategy, every investor needs a clearly defined risk profile. Know Your Risk Radio is brought to you by Bulwark Capital, helping families navigate the ever-changing and often volatile markets. Know Your Risk Radio starts now. Here's your host, Zach Abraham.
And we're back. Thank you for joining us, and welcome to another of the most scintillating hours in finance radio. And we've got a lot to discuss. Wild week. I was telling the people on KTTH last week when we did the show, and Chase Taylor and I were talking about the setup and saying how textbook the market was for a pullback. I didn't think it would happen in 4 days. But that's that. Nobody can time markets, guys, and that's not what we're trying to, that's not what we're trying to do either. But a guy that we're going to have on the show probably in the next month or so, a guy by the name of Michael Guyette, very sharp guy, he has a saying that I love. And it's kind of one of those where you hear a saying and you go, man, I should have thought of that. But it just fits in perfectly with what we think is, nobody knows directions of markets, okay? What we do know, though, is we know when we're in environments of higher risk. We know where we're in environments that are conducive to crashes. We know where we're in we know when we're in environments of lower risk that are conducive with stocks going up. Now, just because we're in that environment doesn't mean it's going to happen. And I've said that so many times on this show, and I'll continue to say it for as long as we do it. I don't have a crystal ball and know which way direction markets are going. If you've listened to this show this year, you know that, because I was saying all along, stay patient. This is a bear market rally. It's going to roll over. We went on to make new highs. Now, does that mean it's to infinity and beyond? No. One of the things that we were also thinking about and we've discussed, and not extensively on the show, but another theory we had was, when you look at the size of stimulus and government intervention into this market, one of the things that could happen is you get that bear market rally, and then that unprecedented stimulus pushes it higher than any other previous bear market rally, really sucking in the rest of the longs, right? Really sucking in the rest of the investors, making them believe that everything's bulletproof, and then it rolls over, right? So we'll watch for that. The other thing is again, with governments printing the way it is, and I'm not saying this... It's always a frustrating thing, because when markets go up, people have this attitude of saying, oh, you're always saying bad things are going to happen. Then markets go down and they're like, oh, save me, right? Oh, I didn't see it coming. And then even within 6-7 months, markets bounce back and people go, no, you just got to stay long stock, ignore the noise. Why do we make such a big deal about it? Because we're in a dangerous environment, okay? Because we are in an environment that combines, economic devastation, right? Record valuations. You could not build an environment like this that was conducive to a catastrophic market drop. Now, I'm not saying that's going to happen. Obviously, again, no crystal ball. But we are very much in a risk off environment. There's a lot of risks out there, and we're going to really break into them. We're going to do a little extended market update to cover them all. But let's start with the obvious, right? Apple and Tesla. Look, it makes good headlines to try to pick tops of things. But when you see two stocks do what those two stocks have done, I cannot tell you, and I guarantee you there's a lot of people on the listening to this show that did the same thing, because everybody did. I bought two stocks. I've heard it from even some of our own clients. Yeah, I just bought some stocks that split recently. What that means, that's code for I bought Apple and Tesla, okay? Guys, this is the stuff that bubbles are made of. Now, I'm going to say that and watch Apple go up another $1 trillion in market cap and Tesla go to one. But I'm just saying, those stocks are running out of buyers. Now, the tricky part about it is they're also both tops in the index, meaning as more money flows into index funds, because that's what everybody's doing, that's what all the millennials love, they're going to be default now, buying mostly Tesla and Apple. And Tesla's almost undoubtedly going to get included in the S&P 500. So now they're going to be in the S&P 500 ETF, which means more fund flows are going to go to them. Now, again, I don't have an opinion about whether, you know, they're done going up or whether they've seen their top. They very well could. The valuations were that extreme. They were that ridiculous. We were looking at valuations on those two stocks that were beyond, you know, tech bubble type scenarios. With Tesla, you're looking at a stock that, and I've talked to a lot of guys about this, maybe I don't think we have ever seen a mega cap company, a company over $100 billion or $200 billion. I don't think we've ever seen one, and I can't recall, we've looked at research, we've never seen a company that size that overpriced. Most, you know, you could make a strong argument that Tesla is the single biggest stock bubble in history. And why do we say that? Because it's a mega cap company trading at 1,000 times earnings that doesn't produce any cash. People go, well, Zach, it is profitable. No, it's not. The only reason it's profitable is because of the ZEV credits. That's it. Zero emission credits that they get for. So if you took those away, operationally speaking, they are still cash flow negative. And their revenues are down 5% year over year. So the growth has vanished. Now, I'm not saying they won't grow again, but I'm just saying the hyper growth is over, and yet the valuation has exploded, and now everybody wants in. Everybody's bought it. These are the things that bubbles are made of, guys. And that doesn't mean they're done going up. But, you know, don't say you weren't warned, okay? The signs are everywhere, including the shot you got this week. But a lot of other crazy stuff going on. The thing that concerns me the most about what we've seen this week is you have seen, especially today, yesterday was more normal, even though people are like, Zach, the Dow was down 800 points. Well, first of all, 800 isn't as big as it used to be. Okay, it's like a 3% move, 2.5% move. NASDAQ got pounded harder, but look at the run the NASDAQ's been on. And you know, just to give you guys a totally perfect, normal, healthy thing in this market would be this market pulling back to the 200-day moving average, consolidating down there, and then pushing up again. The problem is this up ramp has been so extreme that the 200-day moving average is still like another 10% below us. Maybe it's 8% below us, something like that. So I wouldn't be surprised at all, even if this isn't the top, even if the market, you know, resumes and keeps moving up. I'm just telling you, another 8% drop on the market, that wouldn't be scary at all. That's just a move back to the 200-day moving average. That's normal. Now, you break through the 200-day moving average, and you could be looking at some problems. But, you know, it was all pretty normal. Until today, correlations market-wide just broke down. You had all four major indexes down significantly. S&P was down 1. Let's pull it up here. S&P was down 0.8, so a little shy of 1. Dow was down almost 0.6%, 150, 160 points. NASDAQ was down 1.3. Now, here's the weird thing. Volatility, the VIX index, was down 10. Bizarre. I don't think I've ever seen a bigger divergence. Now, I've seen big divergences when markets were down and the VIX was a lot higher. Like, let's say in March, you know, maybe the VIX was like at 60 or 55, and maybe you'd see it pull back down like 8 or 10% in a day or down 5% in a day, and the market was, you know, Dow was down like 100 points or maybe flat, something like that. I've seen that happen before. I've never seen markets down, you know, an average of, you know, 1% across if you put all three of them together. I've never seen markets down that much. And seeing the VIX down 10%, bizarre. And I don't have an explanation for you. One possible explanation is people that were long volatility like we were. Now, volatility popped big, so we're still sitting on substantial profits on that from yesterday. But a good chunk of that got clawed back today. Maybe that's because people are taking profits on their long volatility positions. Maybe they're taking profits on their puts. But that seems kind of weird, too, because the put-call ratio was so extreme, meaning nobody was really buying it. Another really weird divergence. Stocks were down today, and U.S. Treasuries were down big. TLT was down like 1.5. It was down 2%. So yields were popping. And some of the stocks that performed the best today, relative to the underlying, you know, scenario, you know, considering that a lot of them got smoked yesterday, some of the stocks that performed, like, take a look at Tesla. You know, Apple, some of these tech high flyers are the ones that kind of had bounce back days today. And those have been really highly correlated to interest rates, meaning that when rates go down, so when treasuries go up, those stocks tend to do better. Just bizarre. You know, stocks and bonds in general, both were down solidly. Bonds were down harder. What else do we have? Gold and miners. Gold was up, not a lot. Miners were down, not a lot, but still, that didn't match up. A lot of weird stuff going on, guys, and it just reinforces our whole take of just saying, look, I'm going to repeat what we said last week. Is it possible that today and yesterday were just a 1 or 2 day blip? Yeah, it is. But there's a lot of weird stuff going on underneath the surface that really should give you cause for concern. And not just the short term. I'm not, you know, we're not day traders. We're not trying to time an 8% market pullback, but just you need to know how overextended this is, because there is a lot of risk out there. A lot of risk. And we're going to get into some of that, some more of that stuff a little bit later in the show. Also have an incredible interview coming up with Brent Johnson. We're going to get an update to his dollar milkshake theory, and then talking about the overall economy as well. I think there's some great stuff in there. Always love talking to Brent, one of our favorite guests. Great guy, super smart, sharp as they come, and great interview. I really enjoyed doing it. I think you guys will enjoy listening to it. But yeah, just a lot of really, really odd action. The things that were up and the things that were down were all over the place, even down to this. Like, oil stocks did pretty well. Now, they've been beaten up pretty bad over the last month and a half or so, just because I think all the money's flowing into tech. But crude oil was down 4.5% today, and the oil stocks we have in our portfolio were flat. Just bizarre. Just a very weird day. And the reason we cue on that, guys, is because typically, now, again, there are no 100% rules in finance. If there were, we'd all be rich, right? But the reason that's got us kind of on edge here is that when you see this kind of weird action, especially when you consider the run we've had, and let's not make any mistake, guys, since that March 23rd bottom, the NASDAQ is up almost 75%, right? The S&P had its best 50-day run in history. There's a lot to give back, and the underlying economy is still a mess. And yet, we're still saying stocks go higher, right? And we're not just talking our book, but guys, this is exactly why we need risk management strategies in place. Okay, because this is not your father's stock market. If you're not convinced of that today, I don't know what is. I don't know what will. You need to be able to participate in the upside, but you need to make sure you've got a chair when the music stops because of how overextended this is. And no one's trying to predict market moves. That's not what we do here. But what we're saying, like we said earlier, like I told you the quote from Michael Guyett is, you know, we don't know when markets are going to crash, but it's sort of like driving, right? We know that at night with torrential downpours, we probably need to be a little more cautious. It's a higher risk environment. That is very much what we are in right now. And I don't really see that changing. I think you're going to see unbelievably violent swings both directions throughout the end of this year. And is there a possibility of a plummet? Absolutely. Just based on valuations and economic activity, guys. So the importance of having a risk management strategy in place. The other thing, bonds got shelled today. I don't know how much harder we can pound on the table. The number one thing you can do for yourself, help yourself. Call 1-866-779-RISK and 866-779-RISK and get the Common Sense Investing booklet about the bond replacement. Treasuries got pounded. TLT. If you owned U.S. government bonds, you lost 2% today. And stocks were down. Remember what we've been telling you? This whole stocks down, bonds up thing is garbage. It doesn't work. So call us. Get a bond replacement strategy. Have your stock portfolios that have defense in them that prevent the catastrophic loss. It's worth 3 to 5 minutes of your time. Take the warning. Doesn't mean you can't own Apple and Tesla. It just means you need to do it in a portfolio that can deal with this kind of volatility and know that you're, and I wouldn't recommend owning either of them at this point. If you're going to own one, Apple, it's a much better company and it's a great company and it's a cash flowing machine. But just saying, you need risk management because you are dancing on a trapdoor. Anyway, we got to take a quick break. Again, call us 866-779-RISK and 866-779-RISK. Go to the radio show website. Sign up for the webinar that is coming out on September 23rd. We're trying it on a weekday this time. I said Saturday, but I think it's actually a Thursday. You know, you can talk to us. You can sign up for the webinar where we run you through our financial planning system, talk to you about the types of portfolios we have, how they work, the bond replacement strategy, the whole financial planning process, bake down and do a 30-minute deal super quick. Anyway, we got to take a quick break. We'll be right back to finish the market update. You're listening to Know Your Risk Radio on AM 770 KTTH and 97.3 Cairo FM.
This is Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham. Listen to Zach uncover the truth about the financial markets with simple and honest advice to help you plan for retirement. Get your free copy of Zach's new booklet, Common Sense Investing. Go to knowyourriskradio.com.
How do you know your finances and investments right now in today's economy are positioned for a successful retirement? Join me at Zach Abraham's Know Your Risk Virtual Roadshow, Thursday, September 24th, right after my show. Zach, I'm really excited to be there. Tell us what to expect.
Dory, we've taken our entire planning process, the same one you and Suzanne went through, and we've condensed it down into a 30-minute class.
I love that.
We'll answer all the big questions. Do you need estate planning? Long-term care? When should you take Social Security? How much money do you need to retire? And we're also going to show everyone who attends how to protect their portfolio against loss while still growing their assets.
So join me at the Know Your Risk Virtual Roadshow with Zach Abraham, Thursday, September 24th, right after my show at 3. Sign up now at knowyourriskradio.com. You get a free copy of Zach's booklet, Common Sense Investing, too. Space is limited for this free live webinar. Reserve your spot now at knowyourriskradio.com.
You're listening to Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital Management.
And we are back. Thank you so much for sticking with us. And let's get right back into it. So this isn't, and I'll just keep saying it over and over. Okay, nobody can pick tops and bottoms. If you do, it's lucky. Chase and I were joking about that last week on the show. But I think watching, I cannot tell you how many people I know and how many anecdotal stories I've heard from everybody else, where if you thought you were really clever jumping in there and buying Apple and Tesla right before, right after the split, just have some humility because everybody did that. Okay. You cannot have more people on one side of the boat. This is where you need to think a little bit contrarian and you really need to take a long-term outlook. Investing is a long-term game. Unless you are a day trader, okay? It is a long-term game. And when everybody and their mother, literally and their mother, goes out there and buys Apple and Tesla, especially after the runs they've had, right? If these stocks, if everybody did this on March 23rd, that would make some sense. Those things got pounded. Okay, but you're buying stocks that have gone parabolic. And every parabola ends the same way since the beginning of time. And if you look at the market in general, it's got a parabolic slope to it. Just know what you're doing. Be honest with yourself. You're chasing. Okay, you're buying stuff you should have bought before. Now, I don't ever think you should buy Tesla. The whole Tesla thing to me is anathema. I think they make great good cars. I've said the same thing from the very beginning. Except what we, and here's the mind blower of the whole thing. What we thought would happen with Tesla 2 years ago, that's what's happened, is the growth has stalled out. Now, will they continue to grow? Probably. They got great cars. I'm not dogging the product. I'm just saying that, you know, they're now worth more than double Toyota, for crying out loud. And they're not profitable. And they sell, what, 8% as many cars as Toyota does, or 5% as many cars? It's madness, guys. Well, Tesla, Musk is a genius. Okay, great. Every bubble has a rationale. Every one. Right? Everybody looks back at bubbles and they think that, oh, those people are so stupid. And then those same people saying that people were stupid to buy houses in 2007 are loading up on Apple and Tesla. Right, that's the thing about bubbles. That's the thing about these bizarre environments, is that it doesn't seem nuts at the time. And that's why we've got to pay attention to fundamentals. That's why we've got to look at earnings. That's why we got to look at revenue growth. Because like Buffett says all the time, right? The market in the short run is a voting machine. In the long run, it's a weighing machine. And right now, right, it's all about voting. Everybody's, it's the popular thing. I can't tell you how many things I saw. You know, Instagram models with blurbs out. I just bought my first two stocks, Apple and Tesla. I mean, I'm just saying, look, know what you're doing. Just know what you're doing. All kinds of interesting stuff, too. Another weird one is value. Value-type stocks held up remarkably good, for the most part, in this whole drawdown. As a matter of fact, I think the vast majority of our value stocks between today and yesterday are about flat. Pretty wild. Another weird type of divergence. And that's interesting to me. It doesn't signal a sea change. It could just be a couple, 1 or 2 day anomaly. But the reason that's interesting to me is because this is the exact opposite the way it rolled in the March 23 pullback. The value type names, the old economy names, were the ones that got absolutely slaughtered. A lot of the tech names, Tesla being another story, it got hit pretty hard during that as well. But most of the other tech names held up remarkably better than the overall market. This bump we've had this week is exactly the inverse of that. And I think that that's really important because everybody is loaded up on tech. You guys have heard me say this. S&P 500 ETFs, you're loaded up on tech whether you know it or not. Mutual funds, well, no, this is a large cap income mutual fund. Check the holdings. Guarantee you, you're top heavy tech. I guarantee it. Why? Because all these mutual fund managers are competing against the S&P 500. And so you get to the end of long runs like this and you pull the hood up on all these mutual funds, they look exactly the same. So you need to be very careful about what you're exposed to, and you need to think long term. Right now, everybody's thinking super short term. We're chasing the things we should have bought long time ago. Love Apple as a company. Love their products. Got an iPhone. Got an AirPods. Love it. Why do I think it's crazy here? It's at a 40 price to earnings ratio. The thing's priced like a growth stage tech company. Are they going to collapse as a company? No, not saying that. They're a cash flowing machine. It just the valuation is just completely detached from the underlying stock price. And it could continue. Just saying that, you know, you don't typically see companies tack on $1 trillion in market cap in the space of 6.5 months. As a matter of fact, it's never been seen. So, a lot of strange stuff going on. A lot of really interesting moves here. Risk management's going to be at a premium, and we're going to get it into the next segment talking about the things that we see potentially coming up that are going to be problems. Because I got to tell you right now, I feel just at this point right now, and it has nothing to do with the last 2 days, I feel pretty much as concerned about the markets right here as I did in February. A little bit different because you had the coronavirus thing lingering then, but we're going to walk through that in the next segment. And guys, like I was saying, if you don't believe me about the bond issue, look at your portfolio today. Okay, your stocks got hit. They got hammered yesterday. And your bonds over the last 2 days even went down. Today, they were down substantially. U.S. Treasury rates popped 14% on the 10-year, I want to say, if that's correct. I should probably pull that up. But I could have sworn we were up 14%. Let's see, U.S. 10-year, 0.725, 0.1. It's not giving me the percentage move. But like I said, TLT was down 2%. And it's paying you a whopping yield of 0.7, 0.8. And I see you lost like 2.5 years of yield today. Guys, get out of bonds. And if you want to know what to use instead of them, call us, 866-779-RISK. Again, 866-779-RISK. I've been saying this for 5 years. We've been watching bond portfolios puke every single time markets go down. And every client I sit down with is still in a 60-40 portfolio, even though it's been garbage. And it will continue to be garbage. And if you're a Morgan Stanley client, I've got nothing against them. Just go out and read the Morgan Stanley research report that talks about how 60-40 portfolios are doomed. And every Morgan Stanley client I run into has a 60-40 portfolio. And that's not a dog on them. I'm not shouting out at Morgan Stanley. I'm just using that as an example. Their own research department backed up what I've been saying on the radio for 5 years. And yet you guys are all still in these 60-40 portfolios. You gotta make a change. invest the 3 to 5 minutes to give us a call. 866-779-RISK. Again, 866-779-RISK. Go to the radio show website, knowyourriskradio.com, but we're capitalmanagement.com. You guys know the drill. Got to take a quick break. We'll be right back to get into the economics and the unemployment numbers that came out. Stick with us. This is Know Your Risk Radio on AM 770 KTTH and 97.3 Cairo FM.
Do better in bull markets. Do better in bear markets. Pay less fees in all markets. You're listening to Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital Management. You can subscribe to Zach's free newsletter, The Bulwark Insider Report, at knowyourriskradio.com.
How do you know your finances and investments right now in this economy are positioned for a successful retirement? Well, you can join me at Zach Abraham's Know Your Risk Virtual Roadshow, Thursday, September 24th, right after my show. Zach, now's the time for everyone to take a really hard look at their investment strategy.
Dory, there could not be a more prescient time. I'll answer all the big questions on investors' minds, because I can promise you, if you're incorporating some of the long-running investment strategies in today's markets, like a basic 60-40 stock bond portfolio, you're taking a serious gamble, and now is not the time to be gambling your retirement.
Learn all about Zach's retirement planning and investment strategies at his Know Your Risk Virtual Roadshow, Thursday, September 24th. I'll be there too, right after my show at 3. Space is limited for this free live webinar. Make your reservation now at knowyourriskradio.com. That's knowyourriskradio.com.
This is Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham. Listen to Zach discuss key investment strategies across several asset classes, not just stocks and bonds. Get your free copy of Zach's new booklet, Common Sense Investing. Go to knowyourriskradio.com.
You know, we can't always count on great health as we age. That's why I cannot overstate the peace of mind I feel having long-term care coverage for me and my wife. If you've been thinking about it, but you have some questions, this is a great time to get answers. Join my friends from 525 Advisors for one of their free long-term care planning live webinars they have coming up. At the webinar, they'll explain how long-term care works, what the coverage pays for, and you'll discover all the new options and different ways to fund a plan. And then when you're ready, 525 Advisors, they are the best in the country. And I know that because my wife and I went through the whole process with Brian and Madeline, and man, they take great care of their customers. Check out all their reviews. People love working with Brian and Madeline at 525 Advisors. So sign up today, 525longtermcare.com. Join them for one of their upcoming live webinars. The class is free. All you have to do is go to 525longtermcare.com, 525longtermcare.com.
You're listening to Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital Management.
And we're back. Thanks for sticking with us. And let's get into the economics. A lot of misconceptions going on, because right now, I will stick to what we talked about last week. The economic picture is playing out exactly like we thought it would, which is kind of a surprise, because predicting economic movements is pretty tough. I think the reason that it's working the way we thought it would, though, is because this is such a uniquely different situation, right? The whole coronavirus thing, that in a lot of ways, at least for us, it was so different that it at least at this point, it made the economic picture much more clear. And what I mean by that is, and before we get in the unemployment numbers, I want to hit this because I think it's really important, because, you know, one of the things that I think we need to do as investors to keep ourselves safe and to manage risk, not time markets, right? But to know those environments when, hey, let's go out hunting for value. Let's go out hunting for opportunities. Or, you know, maybe we should just sit on the things that we own and trust right now and let things filter out. You know, we're not into timing markets, but we are into adjusting portfolios to fit the risk profile or the risk environment that we're currently in, which only makes sense. I think it makes a lot more sense when you're 13 years into the longest bull market in U.S. history with record valuations across the board. Now, I've said this before too, but for those of you out there going, this is a new bull market, that's complete nonsense. And the reason why I say it's nonsense is because when we talk about new bull markets, right, new movements, new cycles, all that kind of stuff, you expect to see an economic changeover. It's been the case with every single, you know, bull bear market in history, which is, you know, the things that led in the previous bull market got overheated, and, you know, then they become stagnant, and then the new stuff that was stagnant in the old bull market, it's the stuff that, you know, you get what we call new leadership, right? New narratives, new stories, right? New reason for an expansion. Think in the 2000s, what got us out of the malaise of the tech bubble bursting and even 9/11, at least economically speaking, was the housing boom, right? That was the story. That was the new driver. It wasn't tech stocks, right? Then that fell apart. And then tech stocks, for the most part, have been the narrative of this entire run, okay? Well, like I said before, the last six months coming out of the COVID issue, they were no different than the previous 12 years. It was just on steroids. The same stocks led. The outperformance was even wider. Those same stocks went up even more, right? It was the extension of the same story. So technically speaking, if markets drop more than 20%, you're now in a bear market and then you get into a new bull market. But this situation is different. And I'm laughing at all these people that say, well, this economic situation is different, but we're in a new bull market, right? You sit there and go, well, why are you using the same old the definitions of bear markets when you're sitting there saying, you know, that this situation is different? We should look at it different economically. It doesn't really make sense. You know, there's a discongruency in the logic there. So this is not a new bull market. It's not a new cycle. This is an extension of the same one. Another reason why we say that is because what happens in recessions? Consumer spending goes down. Consumer incomes go down. Debts go down, right? Leverage levels in general come down. Corporate debt goes down because companies are going bankrupt or paying off debt because of tough economic times. What have we seen this year? Consumer incomes have actually gone up because of the stimulus. Corporate debt levels have increased, large part because of the stimulus, Fed buying bonds, you guys know the deal. So this to us is the extension of the exact same cycle. And, you know, I think investors would be remiss if they were not conscious of that. Now, the reason that we felt pretty confident about the economic outlook was it was very clear to us. The economic numbers on the downside were exacerbated by the fact we shut down the economy, right? So they were going to be horrible. Well, the inverse is true as well, that when you flip the economy back on, you'd see this initial surge. We originally said somewhere between 40 to 60% of the lost jobs, we thought you'd get them back by September. We're currently at about 50%, okay? But everything is slowing down. The unemployment numbers that came out today, you saw the headlines, 8.6% or something like that, 8.9, 8.6% unemployment. Oh, it's coming down so quick. Don't pay attention to the headline unemployment number. It doesn't mean anything. There's way too much noise. There's seasonal adjustments in it. What you want to keep an eye on is what we call the U6 number. That is the complete unadulterated raw number. That number is still showing us right at 15% unemployment. That is accurate. Okay, and I'm not saying I'm favoring one over the other. I'm just saying if you want a real picture of what's actually happening in the employment and labor markets, the U6 number is a much more all-encompassing number. You're right. It reflects things like people that are working part-time jobs, they might be employed, but their real-time job isn't there anymore and they're just working part-time jobs. They're getting a paycheck, but it's a fraction of what they were getting. So, you've got to look at those things. And those U6 numbers are still bad. So here's the crux. And I'm going to go ahead and lay it out for you guys because this is the way we see it going forward. And we could be entirely wrong, right? But here's the way we see it. And why we think it's going to be a really, really rocky ride. A, they've already put on the brakes as it relates to the stimulus because the CARES Act ran out. The $600 a week everybody was getting, we talked about this last week, is now $300. You're already seeing it show up in the numbers. Walmart was talking about it on their conference call that they've already seen a reduction in consumer spending. So our guess is by the end of this month, you're going to actually see it in the end numbers. You're going to see consumer spending down. You're going to see consumer incomes dropping again. You're going to see, large durable goods orders drop again. Then everybody, here's another one. Everybody got fired up. Oh, look at the ISM, which is the supply chain management. Manufacturing index. So it tells you how many big goods and stuff like that are being manufactured. And we posted a 56. And the headline is best ISM reading in the last 1.5 years. And that's true. 56 is. But here's what you need to understand about that indicator. And the same is true with the PMI, the Purchasing Managers Index. That A, that those numbers are backward looking. And B, most importantly, if you go through an economic crash, okay? And I think the ISM number at the bottom, because the economy was shut off, got down to like, I think the 30s or something like that. maybe even high. I can't remember exactly what the number was, but if you're at 50, it means you're neither growing nor shrinking. If you're below 50, it means you're shrinking. If you're above 50, it means you're growing. Well, if you in a quarter, let's say the ISM index crashes to 30, okay, and then the next quarter it's back up to 50. What does that mean? Does that mean it's rebounded back? No. What it means is you drop to 30, and now over the next quarter, you're not growing or expanding, so you're stuck there. That's what it means. And people go, oh, look at the pop in the ISM. And you go, no, you're reading that index all wrong. It doesn't mean that we've jumped up to 50. It means that we dropped to 30 and we've stayed there, right? To get away from 30, you'd need to see the ISM up at like 60 or 65. That's the kind of bounce back I was expecting to see. So in a lot of ways, even the bounce back that we thought was going to happen from turning the economy back on, even that has been weaker than we thought. The ISM reading of 56, it's the best in the last year and a half, but think about this. It should be way better than that. That's only the best in a year and a half. We're trying to dig out of this record-breaking trough that we had back in March when you shut down the entire economy. So just turning on the economy should have that thing sky high. And so people are celebrating this ISM number, and I go, guys, that means that you're coming out of this hole very slowly. And bottom line is, if you think there's a big recovery on, that ISM needs to jump. And the problem is that it's hit 56 now, and you're already seeing consumer spending contraction. Here's the other thing that we're concerned about. This market, guys, has gotten very binary. If we're going to keep going higher, we've got to have stimulus. Okay, now, I don't agree with stimulus. I'm not lobbying for it. I don't, you know, we need stimulus at certain points. I'm just saying I'm not one of these guys that wants the government just to write blank checks to everybody like they've been doing. But that's where we're at. It's just the cold, hard reality. The U6 number, like I said, is 15% unemployment. You're not going to get this dynamic recovery, certainly not one that's going to make these stock prices justified, unless you print more money and you rack up the stimulus. And here's the problem with that. The Democrats, and I'm not putting this on their, this isn't a political statement. They want Trump out of the office. Trump has made it a referendum on the economy. He's done it his entire presidency, right? And the stock market. They have absolutely no incentives to pass a spending bill or a stimulus bill prior to the election. They just don't. And there's a lot of talk coming out of the White House that now all of a sudden they're concerned about deficits. If they want to be concerned about deficits right now and they don't pass another big stimulus bill before the election, I guarantee you markets are going to drop massively. Okay. The other thing we're concerned about is we're coming up to the fiscal cliff again, meaning we've got to pass another budget at the end of this month. Okay. I don't think the Democrats have incentives to really work alongside the Republicans on that either. So if you delay stimulus and you string out the budgeting process, guys, the economy ain't doing it, right? And I equated it last week to the economy being a pile of wet logs. If you've got enough gas, you can make that fire burn. But the minute you run out of gas, it's game over. And that's just the facts. So, you know, and now, Chase said it perfectly. Watch Congress. If they pass a stimulus bill, if they pass the government budgetary bill at the end of this month, then I would expect to see stocks soar again. I really would. I just don't think that's going to happen. You got political gridlock. They don't want to work with Trump. They don't want to help the market run hot into the end into the election. They don't want the economy to start taking off again. And I'm not saying they're out trying to, this isn't dogging on the Democrats. I'm just saying this is looking at the game in front of us going, look, they want Trump out at all costs. Will they take a market crash to do that? Sure. They believe he's a much bigger danger to the country than a stock market crash. And I'm not sitting here saying I agree with them or disagree with them. Again, it's not a political show. I'm just saying that's the fact. Those are the facts. And everybody is playing this economic recovery narrative, and I'm not trying to be a Debbie Downer. I'm just saying the data's not there. It's just not there. And I think if you look around and talk to people, you know that. A lot of people are still making their incomes. It's kind of weird, right? People are like, well, everything's not that bad, but it's not that good. But, you know, there's a lot of people out there still unemployed. There's a lot of businesses shut. Bankruptcies are climbing up to 2008, 2009 levels. And everybody's got this expectation that we're just going to soar through this little bump in the road and on to 35,000 on the Dow and 15,000 on the NASDAQ. That can happen, but they need a stimulus bill. Now, after the election, I think regardless of who gets elected, they're going to make it rain. It's going to be big spending. But we got a couple months here. And there could be a load of volatility. And again, even if the stimulus bill comes after the election, we've got to assess the environment we're in with valuations being so high that anything could tip this over. And yet, like I said, there's still the potential for stocks to soar. So again, I'm not talking my book. I'm just saying this is yet another example of why we believe so much in our approach, why you need a risk management strategy, why you need to make sure that the safety play in your portfolio, bonds, don't go down by 3% once again while the market plummets 6%. It ain't working. And if you're still out there in a bond portfolio, for crying out loud, guys, help me help you. Call us, 866-779-RISK. Again, 866-779-RISK. Go to the radio show website, knowyourriskradio.com, bulwarkcapitalmanagement.com. Follow me on Twitter at @KYRRadio. And we got to run. We got to take a quick break. But stick with us, because in the final segment of the show, we're going to start the interview with Brent Johnson. As always, we're going to have to cut it short due to time constraints. Oh, we also, I almost forgot, it's already filling up really fast, probably because of what's been going on in the markets. But we have a webinar coming up. We only have 100 slots. I think we're already up to like 63 or something. And the thing isn't for another 2.5 weeks. So get your spot. Go to our website. Sign up for the webinar on September 24th. Doing a little bit different this time. Switching things up on you. That's on a Thursday. It's not on a Saturday. It's going to be right after Dory's show at 3 in the afternoon. He's going to join us. And just switching it up this time, and hopefully you can make it. Like I said, spaces are filling up fast because of what's going on in markets, I'm assuming. So get your space. We only have 100 spaces, room, and don't miss it. We sum everything up. I think it'll be a great value to you guys. So I think that's a good way to get a breakdown. If you want to talk to us prior to that, you guys know how to get a hold of us. Again, 866-779-RISK. Get the Common Sense Investing Booklet. You guys know the drill. Anyway, we got to take a quick break. We'll be right back with our interview with Brent Johnson. Don't miss it. And you're only going to hear part of it. If you want to hear the rest, you got to Google Know Your Risk Radio Stitcher or podcast, Know Your Risk Radio podcast. You can hear the remainder of the interview on the podcast. I'll post the interview to my Twitter page. You can find it on mynorthwest.com. All you got to do is Google Know Your Risk Radio podcast. It'll come up. You pull it up. You click play. It plays through your computer on your headphones. Really easy. Anyway, stick with us through the break. We'll be right back with Brent Johnson. This is Know Your Risk Radio on AM 770 KTTH and 97.3 Cairo FM.
This is Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham. Listen to Zach discuss key investment strategies across several asset classes, not just stocks and bonds. Get your free copy of Zach's new booklet, Common Sense Investing. Go to knowyourriskradio.com.
How do you know your finances and investments right now in today's economy are positioned for a successful retirement? Join me at Zach Abraham's Know Your Risk Virtual Roadshow, Thursday, September 24th, right after my show. Zach, I'm really excited to be there. Tell us what to expect.
Dory, we've taken our entire planning process, the same one you and Suzanne went through, and we've condensed it down into a 30-minute class.
I love that.
We'll answer all the big questions. Do you need estate planning? Long-term care? When should you take Social Security? How much money do you need to retire? And we're also going to show everyone who attends how to protect their portfolio against loss while still growing their assets.
So join me at the Know Your Risk Virtual Roadshow with Zach Abraham, Thursday, September 24th, right after my show at 3. Sign up now at knowyourriskradio.com. You get a free copy of Zach's booklet, Common Sense Investing, too. Space is limited for this free live webinar. Reserve your spot now at knowyourriskradio.com.
What does outside-the-box investing really look like? Schedule your free risk review with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital Management, and see a side-by-side comparison of your current portfolio versus one Zach would recommend. Schedule your free risk review at knowyourriskradio.com.
You know, we can't always count on great health as we age. That's why I cannot overstate the peace of mind I feel having long-term care coverage for me and my wife. If you've been thinking about it, but you have some questions, this is a great time to get answers. Join my friends from 525 Advisors for one of their free long-term care planning live webinars they have coming up. At the webinar, They'll explain how long-term care works, what the coverage pays for, and you'll discover all the new options and different ways to fund a plan. And then when you're ready, 525 Advisors, they are the best in the country. And I know that because my wife and I went through the whole process with Brian and Madeline, and man, they take great care of their customers. Check out all their reviews. People love working with Brian and Madeline at 525 Advisors. So sign up today, 525longtermcare.com. Join them for one of their upcoming live webinars. The class is free. All you have to do is go to 525longtermcare.com, 525longtermcare.com.
You're listening to Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital Management.
And we are back. Thank you so much for joining us today. And once again, we get into my favorite part of the show. And we got a special guest with us today. He's been on quite a few times, but always good to have him back, Mr. Brent Johnson of Santiago Capital. Brent, thank you so much for joining us, and great to have you back, pal.
Thanks, man. It's good to be back.
Yeah, little's happens. You know, what's funny, man, is I feel like every time we have you on, it's in the middle of some type of market chaos. I was like, and it works out great for me because, you know, you're one of the guys I like to bounce this stuff off of. But before we get into the specifics, as it relates to the markets, you know, obviously what we've seen happen this week and what's happening is probably going to be at the forefront of everybody's mind. What are we looking at here, Brent? One of the things that's caught my eye about this is that this pullback is decidedly different in the way the market is behaving. From my perspective anyway, and feel free to disagree, but it's decidedly different than what we saw in the earlier part of the year, because the high-flying names that we would expect to see get hit in a market rout, they're actually getting hit this time. What do you think we've got going on here? Is this a short-term correction, or do you think that this might be, you know, I hate to, and I don't want to make you try to call a top, that's a fool's errand anyway, but do you think that this could be the beginning of the end of this giant tech run, or is this just some market gyrations? How are you guys reading the current market environment? What are your thoughts about, you know, where we're at now and going into the election the next couple months?
Sure. Well, first of all, I'm going to do what I always do, and I'm going to start from a very big picture, and then I'm going to narrow in from there, because I think one thing that people will forget about when they hear people like me or you or other people talk about is, you know, you'll say one thing, and maybe that's what you think is going to happen over a 2 or 3 year time frame. But then you might think something completely different is going to happen in the interim 2 or 3 months, right?
Yep.
And so people who have heard me talk before know that I am of the belief that over the next 2 or 3 years, equities go much, much higher, especially U.S. large blue chip companies that pay a dividend. So from that perspective, from my 2 or 3 year perspective, I think we're having a correction. And I think this could be the beginning of a correction. From my 2 or 3 month outlook or 4 month outlook, I would say that this is the beginning, and it could be quite volatile. And that doesn't mean that we're not going to have, we may come in on Tuesday morning and be up 3%. Nothing's going to shock me in the short term. I mean, if anything shocks you after living through 9 months of 2020, I'm not sure what I can do for you. I have been of the belief for a while that, you know, I knew in the spring that we were going to have a strong rally out of that panic to the downside that we had in March. I did not think that it was going to run as far as it has. So I've been expecting a pullback for a while. So I'm not surprised by that. You know, Wednesday even felt a little bit like a short-term blow off top. I mean, everything was up and up big, right?
Sure did.
And then, you know, just kind of out of the blue yesterday, we had a big sell-off, and, you know, we had a decent jobs number today, and we had a little bit of a rally, and then that sold off. And so, you know, I think between now and the end of the year, it's going to be extremely volatile. I think between now and the end of the year, we're going to have another equity sell-off. I don't know if it will be as significant as it was in March, but it could be. And, you know, so I don't know if that answers your question or not, but I remain of the opinion that over the next couple of years, we're going to see further activity of how we've seen the last 3 or 4 months. But I think in the next 3 or 4 months, we're probably inclined to see more downside than upside, and perhaps significant downside over the next 3 or 4 months.
One of the things that we were looking at today and the last 2 days is, ironically, it seems like one of the things precipitating this sell-off is some of the positive economic data. And it seems as though, you know, you look at these SaaS names, right, that have been so linked to rates, right? Every time rates go down and economic fears stoke up again, it seems like those SaaS names take off. And it seems like this is almost a sell-off based on the quote-unquote recovery picking up. To me, that feels like the market's a bit offside, because I think again, feel free to disagree, but it feels as if, people are pricing in or thinking that you're going to see higher yields, that the recovery is really taking foot. You know, they're looking at the unemployment number. They're not looking at the U6 number, which is still really bad. And it seems as though that this is almost a pullback based on economic improvement. And yet, you know, you just had a pullback of the unemployment benefits, right, from 600 a week to 300 a week. Walmart came out, did a conference call, said they've already seen a tightening in consumer spending. I'm of the belief that this quote-unquote recovery goes as long as the spigots are running. All right, guys, unfortunately, we got to cut it off there due to time constraints. But as always, you know, Brent is as smart as they come. I really want you to hear the rest of this interview. You can get it by just Googling Know Your Risk Radio podcast. People are like, I don't know how to work podcasts. I get it. It's confusing, the new medium. But all you got to do is Google that. You'll see a bunch of sites come up. You know, Stitcher's one of them. Podbean is one of them. You can get it on mynorthwest.com. Go up to the top section, click the drop-down menu of podcasts. I come right up there if you scroll down the page a little bit. And then you just pull it up and press play. It's that easy. So just Google Know Your Risk Radio podcast. You can hear the rest of the Brent Johnson interview. You can hear Chase and his macro breakdown of the economy last week. You can hear all the other guests and all the other interviews we've done. And there's been some great ones. I'd encourage you to do that. Anyway, we got to run. Enjoy the rest of your weekend, and we'll be back next week. This is Know Your Risk Radio on AM 770 KTTH and 97.3 Cairo FM.
Thanks for listening to Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital. Whether it's preservation of capital or an aggressive growth strategy, every investor needs a clearly defined risk profile. Schedule your free risk review with Zach Abraham now at knowyourriskradio.com. Zach will be back with more Know Your Risk Radio next Saturday at noon on 97.3 Cairo FM and AM 770 KTTH.
Opinions expressed in this program are for general information purposes only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual or any specific security. It is only intended to provide education about the financial industry. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult your financial advisor prior to investing. Any past performance discussed during this program is no guarantee of future results. Any indices referenced for comparison are unmanaged and cannot be invested into directly. As always, please remember investing involves risk and possible loss of principal capital. Please seek advice from a licensed professional. Bulwark Capital Management is an investment advisor representative of Clear Creek Financial Management, a registered investment advisor.